Welcome to another episode of Dinner at Our Place. I'm Steve Pearson. I'm joined, as always, by my lovely and talented and very beautiful, more beautiful than normal today, wife, Jessie. Jessie, how are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm very well, and you want to know why I'm very well?
Why?
Because this week, in addition to your lovely company, we have a guest.
Who is that guest?
We're fortunate enough to be joined today on the pod by my best friend of almost 25 years now, godfather to our child, and doctor extraordinaire, Jake Welch, all the way from Los Angeles. Jake, say hello to the fine people of the internet.
Fine people of the internet. It's wow, what an honor it is to be here on the podcast. Huge, huge friend of the pod. Respected on both sides of Jesse and Steve's family, hopefully. Respected on sides. I'm a straight shooter. So
I think Steve might claim you more because he's known you longer, but I always think that you and I are closer than you and Steve, right, Jake?
Right? Sure, you can think that. but you don't know. Me and Steve have spent many hours playing home run derby. And, you know, basically doing what we're doing right now, but for, you know, sports, you know, radio stuff that we pretended we were a sports radio hosts and we're doing play-by-play of Cubs games when we were like 6 years old, so.
Yeah, let me paint the picture for you of like 7-year-old Jake and Steve lying on the floor of my bedroom right up so we can get our mouths right up next to the little tiny microphone hole in my like old school Casio like boom box. And just like a little hole that was the microphone. And so we would lie on my floor and like try and get our mouths as close to it as possible so the microphone would pick us up, and we'd do sports radio like talk shows that we'd record on cassette tape and then I guess just listen to ourselves. I don't know.
Look how far you've come.
So the pod was our destiny.
We basically invented podcasts.
We did. Yeah, back in like 95.
Yeah, it was like way back in 95 when the Cubs only played day games. Night games then, but like that was, we could exclusively watch the Cubs because we were, you know, home from school or whatever it was. And Yeah,
on WGN.
Wait, did you guys do them live, or did you like watch the game and then do this after?
So there was like, we did like sports talk conversation shows, but then we would also watch the game and do like play by play. And I don't think we got like the concept of the play by play analyst and the color commentary analyst. And so I think it was just mostly us talking in very high voices the entire time.
That's adorable. That's really cute.
There's probably some of those tapes somewhere in my parents' attic down in Texas.
Those are worth something.
Yeah, they got.
They will be.
They got to be found. Someone's got to put those on the internet.
So, Jesse, how was your weekend? We normally start by reviewing the weekend since it's Monday. How was your weekend, Jesse?
It was really great. We watched Dear Evan Hansen, a bootleg version of
What's Dear Evan Hansen?
I feel like I've talked about Dear Evan Hansen so much that people should know.
I don't think we've talked about it on the pod.
Oh, I've just Instagrammed about it, I think, at least once a week for the last long while.
Well, for those who don't follow you on Instagram.
Dear Evan Hansen is a new Broadway hit, and it has got Ben Platt, who was in Pitch Perfect. He was like the weird...
Benji.
He was Benji, the weird roommate of the main guy. And so Ben Platt is the lead. His name is Evan Hansen. And it is a very compelling, very fabulous story about high school kids. It's like got a more modern social media age story to it. The music is amazing. The writers of the music were the same guys that did La La Land. It is fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. And so we watched a bootleg version of that, which I think had us both in tears.
I did cry. I cried quite a bit.
It was very emotional.
It's very emotional.
Really
show.
Good.
Very good.
Jake,
very
have
emotional.
You heard about it?
I've heard about it through your Instagram feed and through a lot of my theater friends who I keep in contact with.
You need to listen to it. It's so good.
Yeah, I'm gonna go see it, I think, when I'm in New York in a couple weeks. I'm very excited about it.
I'm very jealous. How was your weekend, Steve?
It was good. It's kind of weird. It was good, but it was emotional. in that, you know, I watched Dear Evan Hansen. All the feels around. There's a lot of feels. I watched Dear Evan Hansen, and that was very emotional. And then I also, at the same time, finished that new Netflix show, 13 Reasons Why. And both of those shows deal with teen suicide in very, like, frank ways. So basically my entire weekend was teen suicide, which is a super cheery way to spend your time off from work. But now I just have all sorts of very complex emotional feelings about, you know, about that topic. And
Cohen never growing up.
Yeah, I really feel strongly that I'm never going to be ready to parent a teenager. So I'm very fearful about that on some level.
That was deep. So Jake, how was your weekend?
Yeah, hopefully Jake's was lighter than mine.
Oh boy. I went to a spin class. It's like
about the same emotional
so
weight.
So LA of you.
You guys, yeah, I was just
so
about to
LA
say, I was like thinking about my weekend and I'm like, this is the most stereotypical Los Angeles weekend that anyone could ever think of. On Saturday morning, me and my lovely girlfriend, we went to a spin class. And for those who haven't been to a spin class, it is like the crazy, like, cult mentality where they put you in a dark room, they turn off all the lights, and they blast crazy, like, intense pop bangers for 50 minutes. And there's someone on a lead bike, and there's a giant light on them, and they're just screaming through a microphone at you. And it's not even, like, really intense stuff, like... You're gonna, you know, they're not like drill sergeants.
Motivating?
They're really, no,
are
but
they
they're
motivating?
They're motivating in like an inspirational, like corny kind of way. They're like, we can do this together. And I'm like, no, we're not. Like, we are all individual bikes. We're doing this completely separate of one another. There's no teamwork in this. And it was just crazy because she kept on saying all these weird things like, and this is our moment. And just think about who you are in this moment. And your personal attributes and what you can achieve as an individual. And I was like, what is going on? I'm just here for, like, this is just crazy. So after experiencing that for the first time, we went to the beach with a big group of our friends. It was a lovely 80 degree weather. So we all went out to Manhattan
so
Beach
LA.
And enjoyed the sun. It's just so LA, brah.
You know, so I have to say, I think that this spin class idea is maybe a metaphor for my life. Loud pop bangers blaring all the time while a strong woman yells at me what I should be doing.
That is not cool.
But it's not just you. I've made a habit throughout my life to surround myself with strong women who tell me what to do because I need it.
Have you never been to a spin class, Steve?
No, I've never been to any exercise class whatsoever.
I think maybe we should go to a spin class at some point. I feel like you would die.
I feel like that's probably not right for me, but
you guys know that Schmidt. Jake, do you watch New Girl?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, you know Schmidt on New Girl. He's like a SoulCycle spin instructor.
Not the actual character. The actor,
not the actual
Max
character.
Greenberg.
Not
Max Greenberg.
No, the actual human being.
Actor Max Greenberg.
Yeah, Max Greenberg.
Oh,
he is a, like on his time off. He used to be
SoulCycle.
He's a SoulCycle instructor. Can you just imagine Schmidt? Like, I couldn't take him seriously if I walked into a class and he was leading the class. I would just die laughing.
He's a very serious person. He has three children.
Yeah.
That's how you know he's a serious person.
Well, spin and beach for Jake while you and I were over here.
I was crying my eyes out over dead teenagers. Very sad.
It was an emotional weekend.
It was very emotional. I'm still coping with it, obviously. So, Jesse, Jake's here. Why is Jake here? Beyond that, Jake is a wonderful human being and we love him. Why did you want to have Jake on this weekend? Because this was motivated by you.
Yeah. So besides the fact that Jake is one of the truest gentlemen I've ever met and know, and seriously one of the kindest, just best people on this planet.
He's blushing, dear.
Jake is extremely... I think Jake is extremely efficient and organized like myself. So when we were thinking about what to talk about this week on the podcast, I thought it would be a very fitting thing to inspire everyone to listen to the podcast and then go out and organize your life and clean. And it's the spring, and this is just what we do in the spring, right?
Is it?
Yes, it's what we do in the spring. You clean, you wash the windows. That's what we're doing this weekend.
We are?
I clean out the closets. I kind of rearrange and, you know, just it's time for spring
cleaning.
Spring cleaning. And so...
And organizing.
Jake is probably one of the most organized people I know. Specifically in one area of his life. He is extremely organized when it comes to his clothes, not just like his closet. Although I've never seen your closet, Jake, but I'm sure it looks great.
It's immaculate, Jesse. It is.
But I'm sure it is. I would expect nothing less. But Jake has a philosophy and a way of organizing his clothes and what he wears, and you can go into more, Jake. But when I was thinking about this episode and I was thinking about what we were going to say and what we want to talk about, of course, Steve doesn't have a lot of opinions about this. He just gets to live with me while I do all of this. And so I thought, what better
Again,
person?
Strong women who tell me what to do.
I just thought, what better person to have on than Jake? So, Jake, remind us and inspire me again, because every time you talk about this, I'm inspired. About your clothing philosophies.
Yes, my clothing philosophies. So I think we have to start where this all began. And this was back, I think about, the year was 2012 or 2011. I was living in Boulder, Colorado, and I was alone and sad. And I think infinite genius always comes from like infinite sadness or boredom, you know, where it's like you're so bored and just like sad. You're like, I have to do something with my life. And so this is what I chose to do. I chose to channel it into my clothes and savings and cost per use. And so one day I went to go buy a pair of jeans at Levi's. And as I was looking at the price, I saw, I was like, man, $50 for a pair of jeans. This is back when I was, you know, an extremely cheap person, and probably still am. But I remember looking and thinking, $50 for a pair of jeans, that's a lot of money. I wonder if I would ever wear these things 50 times, making it a dollar per use. Because, you know, if I wore it about 50 times and I had a dollar per use, that would make sense. And it just seemed like that's a good round number, and I'd be able to say, okay, that was a quality purchase. And so after buying this pair of jeans, I went home and I made a spreadsheet with this pair of jeans and saying, okay, this is what the item is, this is how much it cost, and now I'm going to track how many times I wear it, and then I'm going to do a cost per use ratio, where it's like the number of the amount that I spent on it divided by the number of uses equals the ratio. And instead of just doing it for my one pair of jeans that I purchased, I decided to do it for every single article of clothing that I had purchased up until that point. So retroactively, I had to go back and think about, okay, how many times had I probably worn this article of clothing? But mostly is for future purchases. So for the last 6 years, I've purchased clothing, input it into the spreadsheet, and have tracked every single article of clothing, aside from socks and underwear. Those I leave off the list. But those two things, or everything else, I track inside my spreadsheet, and I have it tracked by the brand, the type of item that it is, the color that it is, how much I paid for it, how many times I've used it, and then it's all ranked by the cost per use ratio.
Oh my gosh. This is,
you do this every single day?
It's the first thing that I do when I get into work. I have the spreadsheet on my computer. And so I go into work, I see what I'm wearing for that day, and I remember maybe if I changed it to some gym clothes the night before or the morning of, and I think to myself, okay, I need to update that, and then I put that into the spreadsheet.
Wait, you track like your gym clothes too? So if you go to the gym in the morning before work, you track your gym clothes and then what you wear.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. This makes me so happy.
Jake, at what point did you realize you had OCD?
I think it was when I was on a date, like probably about a year later, and I was talking with a girl, and she was telling me about how she had purchased like a new sweater that was like over $100, and I was like, oh man, I hope you plan on wearing that at least 100 times. And she's like, well, why would I need to do that? And then it kind of, the conversation devolved to my spreadsheet, and she, you know, probably called me crazy. And then obviously we're not married, because I'm not married and dating someone else right now. But yeah, and I think that's when I realized, I'm like, oh, this isn't normal. And then it became really apparent when I think I told some of my coworkers, and then it got around the entire office of like 300 people, that it was Jake Welch, the bald guy who's Mormon, who has that crazy spreadsheet. And like that's how people like came to me. Like, people would approach me in the halls and be like, oh, so you're the guy. Can I see your spreadsheet? And I would show people, and like half of them would be like, this is actually kind of interesting. You're crazy, but still interesting. The other people are just like, you're a lunatic.
There's worse things to be known
by. No, it's true. It's super fascinating. And the people who are saying that probably just wish they had one. Like, I'm so impressed.
I don't know if that's
no,
true.
No, it's totally true. I'm so impressed by this. So I have to ask you, what are the items you buy that are always going to reach? I mean, because obviously you're a guy and I'm a girl, and so we wear different things. But, like, what are the things that you have bought that always reach the dollar? Always, you can always reach, like, that dollar per wear thing.
So the best, jeans? Yeah, jeans and pants, just because usually with guys, you can wear the same pair of jeans or pants at least twice a week, you know, and not get dinged for it, you know. Whereas if you wear the same shirt twice in a week, someone might be, you know, that's a little bit of a social faux pas. So I think I'm glad that I recognize that in saying that, you know, I'm not just going to, like, go out there like a crazy person and be like, okay, I bought this shirt for $30. I'm going to wear it 30 days straight so I get my cost per use. I have some social, you know, awareness about me. Very little, but some.
Hey, you do. So tell the people what you do with gifts.
Oh, of course. Gifts are another story. So I always want to input it into my system. And because I want to give my friends and family and those who are purchasing gifts for me the satisfaction of knowing that they got me a quality gift, I put the value, the dollar value, at 10. So I'll try and wear or use that gift that someone gave me at least 10 times to, you know, give them, myself and that person, the satisfaction. You know what? I gave it all I had. And I, you know, kind of put it in some worth. Now, there are certain things that I've only put at a $1 value. And those are, like, corporate gifts or freebies, you know. If you go to, like, a basketball game and someone throws you a free t-shirt.
You put the free t-shirts on your spreadsheet?
Well, yeah. It's in my wardrobe, Jesse. It's got to go in there.
Have you ever gotten a gift that was just so hideous that you're like, I'm never going to wear this, that you've just chosen not to spreadsheet?
I think I either donate those things right away. Or I'll go back and I'll return them. I think some of my friends and family know that they're like, okay, you know, we'll make sure that he has a gift receipt because I don't, you know, if I know that I'm not going to wear something, I'm not going to bother with it.
If it's not spreadsheetable.
So like when it comes time to buying new pieces, because I actually really do want to start doing the spreadsheet, not only for myself, but also for my child, because I feel like it's really easy to get carried away with baby clothes and they grow so fast that you really have to get a lot of wears in a very short period of time to make clothes worth it, right? So I want to start doing this for Cohen and I. So my question for you is...
Just so we're clear, I think this is insane. You can do what you want. No,
I think this is inspiring. And I honestly think if more people did this, think about how much money you would save on junk, which we'll get to later. But like, you just don't buy crap because Jake knows what he wears. He knows what he needs because it's literally right in front of him. It's not like, oh, I think I wear those jeans or I think I wear that shirt or whatever all the time. Like, he knows.
Well, I think that's a good question, Jake. How has the spreadsheet affected your purchasing decisions?
Well, there's so many things that go into play here, and I think there's two main takeaways that I've recognized in my own purchasing decisions. One is that I don't always buy the cheapest thing. Now, people always automatically assume that they're like, oh, well, you want to get your cost per, you know, wear at a good ratio, you're going to want to buy something that's really cheap so you can, you know, get a lot of wears, but then also have it at a low price. That's not always true because, you know, sometimes you'll go to a store and, you know, some stores that, you know, have a higher price point. So say something like a J. Crew. This is always a good example. Sometimes when I go in there, I'll always go to the very back, to the sales section first, so I can be like, okay, well, let me look at the sale items because those things are a little bit less expensive. I'll see what's there. Maybe I can find a good deal. A lot of the times I would go back there and I would see something that was either not exactly a style or a color that I really liked, or maybe just outside my size range. It almost fit, but I was like, you know what? It's so much cheaper than everything else. Maybe I'll just go ahead and buy that anyway. I realized that I was able to cut down on these purchases because I realized, you know what? If I really want something and I really like something, then I'll make the decision to spend a little bit more money and get something that is the right size, the right fit, something that I really like, because then it's going to be something that's a little bit better quality probably, and it's something that's going to last me a little bit longer. So I've avoided, you know, anything that's, I mean, I don't know, high fashion is the right word, but anything that's really in the moment stylistically, where I'll try and buy things that are a little bit more like a classic purchase that will, no matter what, 5 years down the road, if I still have this shirt or these shoes, it will still be worth wearing. So I think it's eliminating those frivolous purchases, those, you know, like, oh, I'm just going to buy this because it's $10 kind of a thing. Because sometimes you can buy something for $10, wear it twice, and it's essentially as if you rented it for $5 each wear. Whereas maybe another shirt costs $50, but you wear it 40 times, it's a much better cost per use.
Brilliant.
That actually reminds me a lot of, Jesse, something you talk about all the time, and not necessarily just about clothes, but just you have a crusade against stuff kind of in general, like purchases just because they're cheap or on sale or, you know, stuff that you don't really need.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Jake in the fact that, like, I don't buy things like clothes, for example, just because they're on sale. Like, would I buy this if it was full price? The answer is usually no. Like, the answer is usually, like, if I see something on sale, like, if I'm at J. Crew shopping the sale rack and I see a cute top and I'm like, oh, this is cute. And then I'm like, well, was this cute full price? I probably wouldn't have bought it at full price. So why would I buy it on sale? But then there are the things that you would buy at full price, and those are the purchases you should make. Jake, you, this whole thing, it really is inspired. I mean, I've heard you give this spiel so many times. I'm literally going to start a spreadsheet tonight. It's probably going to take me a few days to put everything into the spreadsheet.
That's going to take a long time, dear. You have a lot. You have quite a few clothes.
But I feel like this is really motivating, and it'll be good for me to track what I actually do wear, because I don't think I even... You think you know what you wear, but you really don't.
Well, and that's a huge thing, too, is like there's some times where I'm like, oh, yeah, I've worn that shirt a lot, but then I go back and I look at my spreadsheet and I see that, you know, a $30 shirt that I've only worn maybe 7 times. And there are some times where I will check and I'll see something on my spreadsheet and I see that I haven't worn it a whole lot. And I'll say, you know what, I should probably try and incorporate that more into my wardrobe. And so by checking it and updating it every day, I'm able to see, okay, what do I need to put more use into? Like, what could use a few more wears to, you know, get to that point? And I have it highlighted in my spreadsheet where the things that are above, that are $1 per use and more, are in the gray. And everything else that's a quality purchase, $1 per use or less, is in the white. So I try and get everything into the white zone. And there's certain times where I will limit myself in saying, okay, I'm not going to buy a new pair of shoes until the majority of my existing shoes are in the white. Or I'm not going to buy a new pair of jeans. So there's certain things, like I mentioned earlier, jeans are something that you get a lot of good use out of. So once I hit the 50-cent mark, so for every dollar, I want to get 2 wears out of. So once I hit that mark, then I'll allow myself to buy a new pair of jeans.
Hmm. So do you ever use the spreadsheet to, like, guide decisions on what you get rid of or, like,
send to
the Goodwill or throw out? Like, if there's just, like, something – or is that mostly driven by, oh, I've worn this out?
It's a little bit of both, I think. There are certain things where maybe if I don't like the item as much anymore, if I'm just saying to myself, okay, well, I don't really wear this as much and I don't really see myself wearing it again, then I can look to the, if I look to the spreadsheet and I see that I have my cost per use, then I'll feel better about, okay, this can go to the Goodwill, I'm fine with it. Whereas if it's something that's maybe a year old, maybe less than that, and I don't have my cost per use and I'm not, like, you know, I'm not loving that item anymore, whatever it is, maybe I'll try and incorporate it a little bit more before giving it away. Just so I can say to myself, okay, I gave it a good shot. I tried to make this work for myself and my wardrobe. And it is what it is. And sometimes I'll donate things that don't reach the one-to-one ratio. And that's when I take a mental note and say, okay, was it the brand? Was it the size? Was it the fit? Was it just, you know, my emotions? Maybe emotionally I didn't feel good about it, you know?
Do you run like deep analytics on your spreadsheet?
Yes,
like
I hope
the data
does.
Like, do you like run regression analysis that shows like, oh, I never wear purple shirts down to the dollar. I'm never buying a purple shirt again.
Are you making fun of him right now?
No, I'm just asking, what is the level of sophisticated data analysis that goes into? Because there's a pretty rich data set here. You might as well use it.
that's something that I need to start incorporating that I haven't realized. That someone like told me about this the other day. They're like, you have to go in and start tracking like the specific dates and how long you go in between certain wears. And I was like, man, that's fascinating because, I mean, I live in Southern California. I never wear big, heavy jackets anymore unless I go to Utah. And I mean, there's going to be big gaps in between nosewares. And then there's other things, you know, seasonally and stuff like that. And so it's there's a whole lot of stuff I've been thinking about. Like, I've been talking with a few of my friends about starting either an app or some kind of, like, you know, something similar where you can, you know, take a picture and then it automatically uploads and tracks everything. So
this is brilliant. I was actually just thinking about that. I was like, this I feel like would be – Jake, you are brilliant. An app would be so smart. I'll do the spreadsheet until you come up with an app, and then I'll be the first user of the app.
It's a really good thing, Jake, that you didn't just divulge your primary – your proprietary app idea on a podcast that people actually listen to. So rest assured that your idea is safe with us.
Hey, you know what? If someone wants to steal it, by all means, you know, they just, I would be glad that someone else thinks that the way that I think would be popular and that people would actually want to do something like this.
Well, I actually think your thinking is really smart. And lucky for us, all the listeners, Jake is going to stick around and talk through the rest of the podcast with us. But I think Jake covered the idea of what we wear in our closets, which is a big place, I think, where junk and where stuff kind of stores up. And so I appreciate his refreshing approach to that. And I know that Steve gives me a hard time often, but I go through my closet like every few months and, you know, what do I have that I haven't worn, or what doesn't fit well, or what can I donate? And I make Steve do the same thing. And he always laughs when he's like, really, we're cleaning out the closet again? I'm like, it's been a few months. You know, it's...
Well, I think my motivation for giving you a hard time is mostly because there have been no fewer than 10, but probably many more times when you've made purchases in the past. And part of the rationale, if I've ever, like, questioned the purchase, which I don't do often, but if I have, part of the rationale for a long time, and maybe not recently, but for a long time was... Well, Steve, I'm gonna wear this forever. And then Jessie, I see her throwing out bags of clothes like every other month.
I donate them.
Donating bags of clothes, which is a very kind thing to do. But you know, those clothes were at one point a relatively, you know,
well, that's
purchase.
Why I'm gonna start the spreadsheet. And then you can't give me a hard time about it anymore.
That's true. You'll have facts.
And I can thank Jake for that.
No, but Steve, I struggle with the same thing. I still have a T-shirt. Me and Steve went to the same high school for 1 year in Colorado. We went to Mountain Vista High School, and I still have a football T-shirt from Mountain Vista High School. And
go Golden Eagles.
Yeah, the mighty Golden Eagles. And it's from like 2002, and it's like the rattiest, nastiest shirt. And I probably should get rid of it, but every once in a while I'll just wear it, you know, like when I'm out doing yard work or something like that. And but this, like, it's one of those things where I'm like, I should probably get rid of this. I have plenty of other shirts that need the use, kind of a thing. But, you know, sometimes you just want to hold on to something. It's a very hard thing I have to grapple with.
Well, I think there are those like sentimental things. And I think we'll actually talk about sentimental items a little bit later, right, Steve? Will we be talking about that when we?
I don't know. Everyone has those shirts. I have a shirt that's older than me. It was my dad's shirt. It was bought in like 1984. I can't imagine the cost per use because he wore it and now I've worn it. It's crazy.
But the good thing about me is I don't have a heart, and so to me, sentimental things don't exist. So it's easy for me to talk about eliminating stuff and junk in my life because, like, I really don't connect to items and to things. And so it's good to hear people like Jake and even Steve, you have a heart and you're sentimental. So it's good to hear like the other side of it. But as I was thinking, Jake, as you were coming on and I was thinking about all this, I was kind of thinking about what in my life inspires me to eliminate stuff. And because let's be honest, Steve, in our house, I'm the one that keeps everything organized and clean for the most part. I mean, you help, but like I'm the one that drives that train.
I just wait to do what I'm told.
And as I was thinking about like what has driven me to eliminate, because if you know me, I'm a very clean and organized and minimal person. At least I try to be.
Our house has no stuff in it.
Like I'm not a person. I don't have a lot of stuff and. I use stuff and junk interchangeably, but I think most people have extra stuff that they could get rid of. And I think it's hard once you have it in your home to get rid of it. And so my thing is just trying to eliminate it from coming in my house. And so when I'm out shopping, I always think, like, do I have a place for this? Like, if I were to buy this, whatever it be, a t-shirt or something for the house or kitchen stuff, like, where would this go? And people like you, Jake, you live in LA, you don't have a lot of space. We live in DC, we don't have a lot of space. It's when you don't have a lot of space, it's really easy to be like, well, I don't have space for this, so I'm not going to buy it. You know, we don't have a garage or storage.
But some people just create more space for things.
Yeah.
Like sometimes people like buy other things to put their things in.
Yeah, that grosses me out. I have no tolerance for sort. I have, again, no heart when it comes to things like this. That really like makes me feel uncomfortable. And I think what it comes down to is like, I feel my life feels chaotic when I'm surrounded by too much stuff. And so like for me, it comes down to like how I feel. It is logistically like, where is this going to go? Do I have a place for it? And if I don't have a place for it, I don't buy it. Like in our kitchen, I have two drawers. I have a drawer for utensils and stuff. And then I have a drawer for kitchen gadgets. And I like to cook. Like I could have a lot of kitchen stuff, but it's like, if it's not going to fit, if I have more kitchen utensils than that fit in that drawer, I'm not going to have them. So I think space is a good thing to think about before buying junk. And then I also think another thing, like you said, Jake, is like, how much money would you just spend on clothes that you wouldn't really wear? And I think that applies to everywhere in your house. Like, are you just buying this crap? Like, what could you be, if you didn't buy that crap, you would be saving money. And then what could you spend that money on? Like something more purposeful and fulfilling, maybe like a trip or saving. You could put it in savings and save it, or, you know, wait and buy something bigger that you've been wanting. So I think if you don't buy crap, you can save a lot of money.
So does that just apply to clothes or?
I think it applies to everything. Like it's so easy to walk into Target. I mean, am I alone in this? Jake, do you ever do this? Do you ever walk into Target and like spend $150? You're like, wait, what did I just buy?
Oh, or yeah.
Maybe men don't do that.
No, I think I remember going in there to a Target one time and I was like, I should probably buy a candle to make my room smell nice. And then I walked out with like a drill set, like a crap ton of like toilet paper because it was on sale. And like a bunch of other stuff where it's like, it was things where I'm like, I probably need this down the line. So I'm just going to get it anyway while
get
I'm
it
here.
Get it now. Totally.
I think I've put everything to use. So, I mean, I feel like it's been productive, but it's absolutely true where you do go to Target and you're like, good heavens, how did this happen?
Yeah, you like just spent. And so I think like I've tried, and I'm a spender. Like I can spend like most, like I've only gotten sick of spending money one time in my life. And that was when we were renovating, and it was at the very end of the renovation. And we had spent, I'm not even going to say how much money we had spent in like an 8-week period. And at the end of that, I was just sick of spending money. But literally besides that, I love to spend money. Like I'm really good at it, but I have to remind myself like, no, I'm not going to buy this. I don't need this. Like I have a list in my phone, in my notes. I have a list of things, and I'm not talking day-to-day groceries or like things to run the house. Like when I say things to run the house, that could be different for you, Jake, versus me. Like for me, that includes diapers. You're not buying diapers.
Well, I hope not. I don't know. I don't know if you have an incontinence problem or not.
But like when I say things to run your house, like cleaning supplies, toilet paper, paper towels, like things that like you're going to use and that they don't count towards just random crap. Like you're buying things on purpose. But anyway, so if it's not, I'll go through periods of the year where I try to really cut back on spending, because we all know that Steve is not the spender in this relationship and he's really good about just being responsible. But like if I'm at Target and I want to buy something, and if it's not on a list in my phone, like I have a notes of things that I need or things we need or Cohen needs, if it's not on my list, then I won't buy it. Cause that like keeps me accountable. Like, or if I'm at the mall, I'm like, oh, these pants are really cute. I don't really need pants right now. They're not on my list, so I'm not going to buy them. Whereas I had a pair of white jeans on my list until 2 weeks ago, and then I bought them because it was on my list. So I think you can save money if you're smart and you just, like, remember if you need something or, you know, what you really want to spend your money on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so where do the 15-pound bags of H&M clothing or ASOS clothing that show up at the doorstep, where do those fit in to this equation?
So Cohen grows, and he's growing all the time, and I buy clothes for him once in the fall and once in the spring. And I do, like, one shop for him, and that's what that was. And I didn't even keep it all. I returned a lot of it. But that's what that was.
I feel like there's a lot of buying and returning for you. So you spend the money, but then you get all the stuff, and it either doesn't fit, or you
filter through and figure out what I really want.
And then you return it all.
Yes, and then I return.
I feel like you spend a lot of time in your life returning things.
That's not true. Not all my time. So there's like the space thing. There's like the money thing. Like everyone could save money if they just stop buying crap. You'd save a lot of money. It's crazy how much you can spend. And then without even realizing it. And then I think the third thing for me that has really helped me to eliminate the junk in my life is thinking like, if I'm not spending my time shopping online or in person, or I'm not
returning things,
like think about how much time you have left in your life to do more fulfilling things, whether that be spending time with friends or even watching TV, watching movies, like even this weekend.
Nothing is more fulfilling than watching TV.
I know, not for you, Steve, right? But like you can spend your time doing more fulfilling things, whatever that is to you. You can live a simpler life that's more satisfying if you're not spending your time buying or consuming stuff.
Constantly feeding your stuff fix.
Yeah. I hope I'm not alone. I don't think I'm alone in I like to buy stuff. I like to buy junks.
I think that there's actually a very small Japanese woman who has made millions of dollars off basically the same thing that you're saying. Her name is Marie Kondo. Jake, do you know who Marie Kondo is, Jake?
Did she write the magical gift of tidying up?
Yes, the life-changing magic of tidying up.
Magical gift sounds much more fun.
Yeah, much more fun. Way more fun than it is a gift. She should have really talked to you before.
You could put that down in your spreadsheet for $10. So we had not actually heard of Marie Kondo until our friends came over last week for Easter, and they commented on how they don't know where we put all of our stuff because they never see any of it. And the truth is, we just don't have a lot of stuff. And so they taught us about Marie Kondo, which I guess we were very late to the game on.
I can't believe. So, Jake, you've met the Barnes and the Bankies. They came over and they told us about this Marie Kondo lady. And I can't believe that they were telling me about something that I didn't already know about.
Because Jesse is very on trend.
Because I like to think, and especially, it's like an organizing... this is like my thing. This is my jam. Like, how do I not know about this?
Yes. So for those who aren't initiated, Marie Kondo, she's this 4'8" Japanese woman. She's an organizer. And she wrote this book, like Jake said, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, or whatever it's called. I think that's it. And so after we were informed about her, I guess this has became like this... does this organizing craze in the United States, which I totally missed. But in the meantime, I've gone and looked up the New York Times Magazine profile on her. And this is from that profile. This is the best way I've found to describe what this is without actually reading her book, which, of course, I'm not going to do.
Who reads books?
Nobody reads books anymore. It says it include this life. She calls it a once in a lifetime tidying marathon. Which means piling 5 categories of material possessions, clothing, books, papers, miscellaneous items, and sentimental items, including photos, in that order, one at a time, surveying how much of each you have, seeing that it's way too much, and then holding each item to see if it sparks joy in your body. The ones that spark joy get to stay. The ones that don't get a heartfelt and generous goodbye via actual verbal communication and are then sent on their way to their next life. This is the crux of the Con Marie, that soon-to-be trademark nickname, and it is detailed in The Life-Changing Magic and her more recent book, Spark Joy, which, as far as I can tell, is a more specific The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, but with folding diagrams. She is often mistaken for someone who thinks you shouldn't own anything, but that's wrong. Rather, she thinks that you can own as much or as little as you like, as long as every possession brings you true joy.
And there's parts of that I giggle at. And the whole piece, if you're interested or if you're feeling motivated and inspired to go through and kind of simplify your life and all of your belongings, it's a really good piece. What's the name? What's the piece called?
Marie Kondo and the Ruthless War on Stuff.
The piece is really great if you want to go.
New York Times Magazine, July 2016.
And Jake, I would love your just like initial thoughts on this because I know that you're not familiar with her. I spent all day like in the deep dark holes of the internet reading about her, and she's very controversial. People either love her and they're called converts, the people who follow her.
Like, with a K.
With converts. A K, K-O-N-V, like converts, like her last name. And then there's like the professional organizers that like hate her and think she is just like like totally a fake and like.
Can you imagine the type of person that would be a professional organizer that have that hot of a take on a 4'8" Japanese woman?
Yeah, there's people out there.
That doesn't make any sense to me why people would get angry about that. Where it's like, I completely agree with her philosophy where it's, you know, just limit yourself or try to have the things that just bring you happiness. Now, it doesn't mean that everything has to bring you like complete elation and ecstasy. But, you know, as long as, you know, the things that you have, you know, provide some kind of service or provide some kind of relief to you. Like, I'm looking at all of my stuff right now around my room of all the things that I own, and there's certain things that bring me pure joy, like my new Rockies hat. I love the Colorado Rockies. I have a beautiful hat that I got.
They're in first place?
They're in first place. They're beating the Nationals right now, and life is good. And that brings me a lot of happiness. I have some OC DVDs, which bring me a lot of happiness when I watch, you know, some old seasons of the OC. And then I have some other things like dice, which sometimes I like to play dice games with my friends, and other just like more functional things like dental floss, where it's like that doesn't bring me as much excitement and elation as the OC DVDs. But you know what? It's an important thing for me in my life to have good dental hygiene. So it brings me that small level of happiness.
You are so rational, Jake. And I think you're right. I think the professional organizers, I don't know if they're intimidated by her. I also think professional organizers are kind of a hoax because I really think they just come in and they just organize every, like you'll hire them, they'll come in and they'll just organize your crap and like label your crap for you. And they don't tell you, get rid of this junk, you don't need it. They just say, oh, well, let's just find like a way to make this look better. So I think professional organizing is kind of, I would probably be a professional organizer at this point in my life if I didn't think it was kind of a hoax. And so I think she is right. I think KonMaria is right in the fact that like, if you don't need it or if it doesn't make you happy in some way, get rid of it. And that's easy for me to say. Like I said, I don't have a heart, so I don't have a lot of sentimental attachments to things. Like I sold my wedding dress. Like I don't really attach to items. I'm always under the idea of like, it can be replaced or it can be replaced with something better or something similar.
So that's my question to you. Are you a convert?
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to pay $1,500. You can pay $1,500 and like go to her 3-day seminar and like become a convert. I don't think I'm going to do that.
Become like a licensed KonMaria organizer.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to do that because I think it's kind of crazy. Like, I don't think I need to talk to my clothes before I donate them to Goodwill.
And yeah, that's like the most like, nuts thing.
It's kind of like, weird. Like,
that's
it's
the
a
most
weird.
Nuts thing of the whole thing for me is that you have to like hold it in your hands and thank it for all of the services provided you and like bid it a tender goodbye. Like it's a shirt, lady. That's weird. Like,
yeah.
I don't get that.
I think that's a little weird. But I did think she had a good point how she said like the opposite of happiness is not sadness, it's chaos. And I totally agree with that. I think that a lot of stuff can often bring chaos and just kind of like weigh you down subconsciously. And so I think, I mean, I know when I'm not happy, it's probably because our house is dirty or I feel like there's just like things.
You get really upset when the house is dirty. You may not know that that's what's making you upset.
No, it is. I know it.
But I can tell.
No, I know it is. And then I clean the house and then I'm happier. So I think, I don't know, maybe I'm just really weird, but I think that subconsciously is probably the case with most people.
And your definition of what constitutes a dirty house is drastically different than most people.
And that's why I don't make anyone else clean my house or you, because I have my own levels of what I expect out of myself.
That's true. Very high standards.
But I also think that in that piece, she talked about how women have a closer connection to their surroundings than men do. And
maybe that's why I have lower standards.
And I think that's why,
cleanliness.
Except for I feel like Jake might be an exception to that because Jake has like a self-awareness of like what's around him and
he's in touch with his inner goddess.
You better believe I am.
Yeah. And then, so I think like professional organizers will often come in and like kind of handhold. I mean, I've never hired one, but like they'll kind of hold people's hand and be like, you know, all this crap, it's okay. You can keep it. And there are certain situations when I think it's probably okay. But for the most part, they'll be like, yeah, you can use all, we'll keep it. We'll label it. We'll put it somewhere. When in reality, you just need to part with, like, you don't need to have somebody organize your stuff if you don't have that much stuff, right? Like,
yeah.
Your pantry becomes a lot easier to organize when there's just not that much in there because it's only the stuff you use.
And you also become a lot skinnier when you don't eat food.
Oh, my gosh. We eat Are you telling me my pantry is...
No, I'm just saying if you didn't have any stuff in your pantry, you'd probably become really skinny and also really hungry.
I thought you were going to say something about like my cooking or eating, which you know I take my cooking very seriously.
You're a great cook. You're a great cook. The one thing I think I want to ask you about is I think the Con Marie thing, she calls it the once-in-a-lifetime tidying marathon. And I think tidying is a lifetime marathon for you rather than a once in a lifetime marathon.
I think it is. Well, I think it is for most people, right?
I don't know. I don't talk to most people about tidying, so
like,
I don't know.
Feel
or
like
anybody
you have
for that
to
matter.
Constantly be kind of curating what you have and figuring out what you use and figuring out what you don't use and then donating what you don't use. Like, I think it's a constant thing. I don't think there's like, because if somebody's a hoarder and they go through one time and clean up their everything, you don't think they're going to start hoarding again? Like, I think it's a constant thing for anyone.
But maybe if you got to the point where your purchases were so efficient, maybe if you had like
I'm like Jake Welch status on all aspects of my purchasing in my life, then it's a one-time thing.
Then you may like never buy things that you don't need.
Yeah, like if I did like a spreadsheet for like my kitchen.
You were running the deep analytics, get the regression analysis going.
Like I don't use rubber spatulas. I only use wooden spoons. Like
You would still buy rubber spatulas because that's Cohen's favorite toy.
I know I would. But no, I think she has a really good point. I mean, Jake, so you tell me, because we're like a married couple that lives here in the suburbs of DC. And, you know, I have a very small group of people that I associate with regularly, and a lot of them have the same opinions I do, and that's why I'm friends with them. Do you feel like on your side of the country and single people or just people in their 20s and 30s in general, do they care about this? Like, do they think about the amount of stuff that they have? Because, like, they're moving a lot, right? Like, you have friends that move all the time. Like, you kind of think about how much crap you have when you move.
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of my friends are probably a little bit more aware of those things, just because they have to think in terms of, okay, what can I fit into a tiny Los Angeles studio apartment or a small loft in San Francisco or something like that in these cities? And so a lot of the people that I associate with think on those terms. But I've also found that a lot of my friends still do the whole, okay, I have a bunch of crap that I can just leave at my parents' house, and whenever I get a house or some other place that's bigger or more spacious, I can just go and reclaim all of my stuff then. And I've helped move some of my friends, and I'm surprised about like with the amount of stuff that they have decided to like latch on to. I don't know if it's because they're incredibly cheap and they don't want to get rid of certain things or sell certain things, or they don't feel like buying something that's newer when they get to a new place or whatever that is. But it's very curious to see how there's a little bit of both, where you see the extreme kind of like pack rat mentality of not wanting to get rid of things, and then some other people who are extremely efficient and only have the things that they need because of the limited amount of space that they have.
So it's like a logistical thing.
Yeah. And
not so much of like an emotional thing.
It's a crossroads between the two. I think there are certain people who have a little bit of both. Like I probably put myself in that category. There's probably a few things that I might need to get rid of for emotional reasons, but I still hang on to them. Like I'm sure there's, like I said, that old T-shirt. I probably don't need to hold on to that. But even a lot of like books too. Like I love
yeah. Books are hard.
I love having like physical books and having like physical copies of books because I'm an old man and I can't read on an e-reader for some reason. Like, it just frustrates me to no end, and I'm like, I need a real book with pages and printed letters.
Who reads books?
Jake, you're really aging yourself.
People who don't have kids and wives, they read books.
They read books. They have time for that.
It's what we do on airplanes and stuff like that. So, and I like to have I have a bookcase, and it's just nice having all of them here so I can like go back and reference them, or if there's a certain quote from one of them, I can go back and pull out a page and make a note or something like that. So, but like logically, it doesn't make much sense to have all of them because the ones that I have read, maybe I won't reference them as much in the future, but it's still just nice to have them there.
So the way you collect books, Jake, Steve, there is one thing in our house that Steve collects, not books. There's one thing, do you know what it is? The one thing that you collect that you have a lot of that we never touch, and then I'm always like, why don't we get rid of those?
Basketball shoes?
No.
Oh.
Blu-rays.
Oh, Blu-rays.
Steve has a bunch of Blu-rays. Even last weekend, I watched You've Got Mail, And rather than like go find the Blu-ray that he got me for Christmas a few years ago and like watch it, I just looked for it online.
You found it on some sketchy Japanese website.
It on the iPad. And so I feel like
You decided to break the law rather than use the legal option.
We need to go through your Blu-ray collection, Steve. Never watched Blu-ray.
You're fighting a losing battle because if there was ever a time in my life when I had the incentive to do what Jake was talking about with like the living efficiently thing, it was when I was a Mormon missionary. And every 6 weeks I had the potential to be moved somewhere across the state of Florida within like 2 days' notice. And so I had to like get a ride from somebody to like go to wherever I was supposed to go. And so essentially you had to like be able to take all of your stuff with you. And that would seem to be a pretty powerful incentive to like minimalize yourself. But nope, I still had a giant box of vinyl records, which if you've ever moved a box of vinyl records, you know how terrible and heavy those things are. I had a whole other box of DVDs. I had a giant electronic typewriter to write letters to yours truly sitting here. And in addition to all of my clothes and everything else.
You're kind of a hoarder, Steve.
I'm not a hoarder. I just have some level of attachment to, you know, other things in the world.
I think you're a little bit of a hoarder.
Okay. Well, I'm a hoarder. I'm a lost cause. If it was up to me, I'd be living in stacks of crap up to the ceiling and I'd have navigated a path like it's the Rio Grande cutting through the Grand Canyon. I guess not, the Rio Grande doesn't cut through the Grand Canyon, so now I sound like an idiot. But we should probably end this segment before I say anything else that's inaccurate.
No, I just hope people feel inspired by Jake's spreadsheet, really, truly. And I feel like it's like the time of year to like turn a fresh leaf. Is that the metaphor I'm looking for? Turn over a new leaf and a fresh start.
I'm mixing metaphors.
And like clean out your closets. Clean out your junk, get rid of the stuff you don't use. And I'm not saying throw it away, but like donate it to people that will use it and just try to like simplify your surroundings because it will make you happier.
Well,
I can guarantee it.
She guarantees it.
And if you want my help, if you live near me, I will come over and help you because there's nothing I love more than organizing other people's stuff.
She guarantees it. It's like a Men's Warehouse commercial.
I guarantee it.
Except for OCD. All right. So that's enough. That's enough an extended PSA for OCD and spreadsheeting your clothes. Let's take a quick break. Audience, you can listen to cheerful piano music for a second. And when we come back, we'll be having our scorchingest of hot takes with the great Jake Welch. Stay with us. Back. Jesse, if there's one thing I know about you, it's that you have some very unconventional opinions.
I don't think so.
About a lot of things. Jake, have you ever noticed that Jesse has unconventional opinions about things?
You guys, I'm reading the spreadsheet. I'm reading the Google Doc.
Yeah. Are you dying
things,
right now?
I'm already like reading the things that Jesse has written down of like the things that she does not like, her unpopular opinions, and they are ridiculous.
They're real.
These are scorching hot takes, Jesse.
I love that Jake just saw this for the first time. And I also Steve
glad
said
we
it
put
up,
in the prep.
set it up for like how this is a thing on Twitter.
Oh, so there's a hashtag on Twitter that sometimes people will use, which is hashtag confess your unpopular opinion. And I see it used all the time. And I never quite connected it until the other day that Jesse is basically a living, breathing, walking around, sentient confess your unpopular opinion hashtag. And so I wanted to just have a little time. I know we spent a lot of time on organizing, just a few minutes here where we could all, myself included, air and confess some of our unpopular opinions, just get it off our chest and share it with the internet. So Jesse,
I just want to clear the air. I think there's a difference between like an unpopular opinion and a bad opinion. Like I think there's a difference between the two. Like I fully recognize, like, I can recognize that there are certain things that I like that are bad. Like, there's a song by one Uncle Cracker. You guys know who he is, right? He sings a song called Smile. It's not good, but I love it. Like, it's a real, like, for some reason, I really love the Uncle Cracker song Smile. It just makes me happy. I recognize that it's bad. It's a bad opinion. Like, it's a bad opinion. But, like, there's other things where. Yeah. But then there's other things where it's like, I think that Matchbox 20 is really good. That's not, like, a bad opinion that I have. It might be an unpopular one, but I don't think that it's a bad one. So I think there's probably a difference between those two.
Yeah, I think that kind of like goes to, and maybe this is an unpopular opinion in and of itself, but like I have this like deep-seated like belief that the idea of like guilty pleasures is bogus and misguided, in that I don't believe that you should ever feel bad or guilty for like liking things. So like all the time you'll hear people be like, oh my gosh, I have, you know, really, you know, popular like pop my guilty, song, like my popular pop song X, like stuck in my head. It's just so catchy and I hate it. It's always in my head. I'm like, no, if it's catchy and it's stuck, it's catchy enough to become stuck in your head. That obviously means it's like an enjoyable song. And that does not mean that it's bad. If you're enjoying it enough that it's stuck in your head and you can't get it out of your head, that means that it's good. It's so not bad.
What about my guilty pleasure of Crazy Bread?
You shouldn't feel guilty about any pleasures. If you like
it. Like, I love Crazy Bread.
If you like something and it makes you happy, you should do it, unless it's cocaine or heroin or other opioids, because we're in the middle of an epidemic and Donald Trump is going to solve it. Well, that's one of the things Jared Kushner is supposed to solve. So it will probably never be solved.
But, lies. Yeah. He lies. Donald Trump lies. Okay, so should I start us off? We'll kind of do like a round robin-esque thing until we run out of
I don't have
things.
As many unpopular opinions
I know, because Steve
you.
Is like
so
a...
So you may have to do like, you may have to double up.
Steve is like a normal human being. So I think the biggest one for me that Steve cannot get over is... Jake, you know the show The Office?
Don't know
if you're a big fan of the show.
If you were alive in the 2000s, you know The Office.
Okay, I did not like The Office. I actually thought it was annoying and terrible until Michael Scott left and it was just like Andy's show. Like, I think Andy is hilarious and I think Michael Scott was terrible and I think the ratings and most people would not agree with me.
Yeah, no, that's a terrible opinion.
Yeah. I was going to say, Jesse, I don't think anyone else agrees with you. That might be a bad and an unpopular opinion.
Yeah, I have never met a single person who doesn't think that show went straight down the toilet, passed through the toilet, down the sewer pipes, and landed somewhere. Where does that go? Into the water treatment plant around the corner from our house? It's that take is circulate. That show is circulating in the water treatment plant around the corner.
No,
from
Andy
our house.
Was the best part about that show. Michael Scott was annoying, especially like the first few seasons. Oh, he was terrible.
Those like
he was a little better once he got his hair transplants.
Well, that was only the first season when he had the bad hair.
Oh, it was so bad. It was all bad until Andy came along. It was so bad.
Andy is among the most obnoxious television characters.
He's way better than Michael Scott. Oh. What you got, love?
Oh, so my core unpopular opinion, at the center of who I am as a person is a scalding volcano of hot take magma. And that hot take that is at the center of my being is that actually the outdoors are bad for you. There is nothing worse than outside. Outside wants to hurt you. It's bad. It's not good. If God intended for us to go outside and sleep under the sky and take craps in holes and then cover them up, we would have never been allowed to invent houses with roofs and indoor plumbing. So why in the world would you go camping?
And this only really plays a role in the fact that you would probably never take our child outside if I didn't make you. And if I didn't make us.
Why would we go out there? There's bugs. There's things that want to literally eat you. It's hot. Why? It's terrible.
Because it's fresh air is good for you and it makes you happier.
Why is it good? We have air conditioning. We have better air inside.
It's in, like,
we literally have the capacity to bring the air from outside into our homes, make it better, and then breathe it in. Why would we not do that?
Steve, you would not.
This explains a lot about, like, back when me and Steve used to play baseball, and we also used to be part of the Bobby Jones Saturday Series golf team. And I think when I look back on it, there's probably never been more miserable times in Steve's life than being out on the golf course, among the bugs and the heat and the disgusting nature of the outdoors, as Steve calls it.
I would love this.
Yeah, in the 95 degree heat, just turfing it through a round, coming in last place because I'd rather be anywhere else in the entire world. Yeah,
we were the worst. I think we were the worst golf team out there.
Yeah, we were the worst, and it was so bad that when they gave out the season-ending awards at the end of the year, they basically had no award to give us but most improved, meaning that it improved from being, the worst by, 40 strokes to the worst by, 35. So it was,
They gave us that award 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I think they did, and I think the prize that came with that award was, a sleeve of golf balls. Only one sleeve.
It was a sleeve of Strata golf balls, Strata gold. I remember
it wasn't even
well.
A Titleist.
You had to split them. Jake, what do you have for us?
I mean, I have a lot of... I already confessed my Uncle Cracker take, so I'll go back to my next good one here. So there are two movies, no matter what's happening, if I'm supposed to be somewhere, if I'm in a rush or whatever it is, if these movies are on TV, I will stop whatever I'm doing and watch the rest of them while they're airing on TV. One of them is You've Got Mail. You guys talked about this last week. So anytime it's on TV, I have to stop whatever I'm doing and watch whatever's going on with Cecilia Kelly and Joe Fox and make sure that they get together at the end because that's it's an important part of my life.
I think you mean Mary Margaret Ann Megan Hydra or whatever her name is.
Jake, that makes me love you even more.
Yeah,
I can't believe
right.
we've never talked about your love for You've Got Mail until right now.
I can't believe
in all the years, in the 12 years I've known you, we've never talked about this.
I'm glad the podcast brought this information out. So the other movie that belongs on this list is one called Stomp the Yard. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with it.
Is it the movie I'm thinking of? Like that terrible movie from, when did that come out? Like
2003?
Like early 2000s?
I think maybe closer to 2006 or 2007.
Really?
And basically it's about this young man who goes to a historically black college and participates in the stomp community. It's kind of like this dance drill team kind of a thing. And I think maybe it's something that I'm so unfamiliar with, just being the dopiest white kid on planet Earth. I'm like, I'm watching this and be like, this is so cool and fun.
Wait, is the university really called Truth University, as it says on the poster? Or is that just a marketing ploy?
I think that's the school that he goes to.
Wait, why do you connect with this on another? This is so funny.
So, I've always fancied myself a really amazing hip hop dancer. I remember when Steve back in the seventh grade, Steve used to take hip hop dance classes, and I was super jealous. I was like, man, I want to be good at that someday. I've never taken any classes. And I've never done anything to advance this really small desire in my heart to be really good at hip hop dancing. But I think whenever I watch this movie, I'm like, oh yes, this is great. I love what
I am Chris Brown.
It looks like it features Chris Brown wearing a khaki Arizona Diamondbacks hat, which is probably the most notable part of this movie.
The interesting thing is Chris Brown, I'm spoiler alert, he dies within the first 2 minutes of the movie.
Oh, bummer. Man.
Yeah. So but his brother goes on to do great things because he's inspired to dance and to stomp for his brother.
This is amazing.
For the Thetas.
I can't believe you're saying this out loud, Jake.
For his brother, just like his brother stomped on all of those women, unfortunately. Chris Brown.
Jake, I cannot believe you just said that out loud about that movie. That is bold.
Well, I think that it's I have a similar connection. This is actually kind of bizarre considering that Jake and I have been friends for this long, but I have a similar connection to Drumline, which is a very similar movie, just yes, with drumming.
Yes.
With Nick Cannon.
Yes, we've watched that many a times when it's on TV.
Yes, when it's on TV, I feel like this like tractor beam pulling me to watch Nick Cannon participate in a drum off in the Georgia Dome. Like, it has to happen.
You know, sometimes it's the things that you can relate to the least that draw you in the most, I guess.
Yeah, basically any movie about rhythmic things happening at historically black colleges. Very much opposite of my life experience, but definitely something I want to know about.
I think in that same time period, right? They both came out early 2000s, kind of.
Yeah,
joking.
Early to mid. Yeah, mid.
There was a song that came out about that time that I hate.
This is another incredibly
bad take. That everybody loves.
This is another incredibly bad take.
Should we
take.
Play a little bit of the song for them?
We should play a little bit of the song for them. All right, here it is. Jesse's least favorite song of all time. Least favorite?
Least favorite song of all time. All
right, here it is.
1, 2, 3. My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really wanna, but can't stand to see me walk out the door. Don't try to fight the feeling, cause the thought alone is killing me right now. Thank God for mom and dad for sticking two together, cause we don't know how.
All right, so that's it, Jesse.
I hate that song.
That is a legitimately great song.
No, I don't hate a lot of songs. I'm pretty open to all music and all kinds of music. I hate that song more than Radiohead, more than I think the Beatles are crap. Like, I hate that song.
Jesse's just spewing forth unpopular
Jesse,
opinions
I hate that
now.
Song. Out,
Jesse,
I hate that
like,
song.
In that song, it says the words, "Lend me some sugar, I am your neighbor." How can you hate a song that says that?
Followed it's by... All right, 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 all right. Now, ladies.
Exactly.
I hate that song. I don't know what it is. I hate that song. And whenever Steve sings it, if Steve wants to kind of bug me, he knows he should sing that song.
Have you listened to the acoustic version?
No.
There's an acoustic version.
I will have to check this out.
Oh, you got to check out the acoustic version. I think that was one of those songs that I learned in college to kind of impress people, emphasis women, that, it's, a relatively easy thing to play because it's the same thing over and over and over again. And so I would start playing it and they're like, "What, this song sounds familiar." And then I would start singing the lyrics and they'd be one pleasantly surprised that it was, "Hey, and so that kind of like masked the fact that I was one terrible singer and the guitar player. So it's like, "Oh, a familiar song that's, it's different."
That's so funny.
I have great memories with that song, Jesse. Don't hate that. It's a beautiful song.
No, I hate that song.
Your rudimentary guitar playing may not have impressed Jesse, or it may have impressed Jesse, because I think another one of Jesse's unpopular opinions is that she prefers to work out to mid-tempo, like, ballads.
Oh, yeah. It's way better for your breathing while you're
like
working out.
You know, everyone is, like, working out to, like the up-tempo.
We work out to Fall Out Boy.
I only run, and I don't enjoy running. Running is also bad. Bad for you, mostly because you
do it. But I think most people would agree.
Running is bad. But if I have to run, I only run to early 2000s emo pop punk music. That's it.
And I only work out to mid-tempo ballads. Jake, what do you work out
to? Oh,
man. What we're talking about here.
I got a range of just the hits.
The bangers.
That I have. It's just for decades of hits that go into my running playlists.
So Jake, give me another unpopular opinion.
I really love bad sushi. Like, I love all kinds of sushi. I went to Nobu the other day for a dinner. And
did
that's
you
like
see
a,
the Kardashians at Nobu?
No, but I did see a lot of people who wanted to look like the Kardashians. Who paid a lot of money to look like them. And so anyway, so I've been fortunate enough to eat some of the finest sushi on planet Earth. But for some reason, I love... like grocery store airport sushi. Like the worst, like it's like the more that it looks like it's gonna kill me, the more that I like it. Like that's when I go to the, anytime I get done with work and it's like 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock and I haven't eaten dinner yet, I'll just go over to Ralph's or Vaughn's and I'll go to the sushi section, and I'll say, okay, which one of these looks like it's going to kill me? And then I pick that one out, and I eat it for dinner because for some reason it just, like, makes me happy. You know?
Wait, so you pick it on which looks the least appetizing?
Yes. Oh, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know why.
Oh, gosh. You are like the grocery store savior. I always see like produce at like the end of its life. It's like,
nobody's,
it's
only like, talking about sushi.
I know, but I think you know, I see like a banana. It's like the last banana in the thing, and it's like brown and bruised. I'm like, are they just going to throw that out, or is like somebody actually going to buy
Jake's
that?
Jake's going
to
buy it.
No, Jake is there buying the sushi that looks like it's like mold growing on it.
Well, and I always get there.
He likes the, thrill.
I always get there later in the day because they usually make the sushi around, you know, earlier in the day. I've gone into the grocery store at one point in time, and I saw the chefs making the sushi right there, and I'm like, oh, okay, they probably make it at this point in the day, and they put it on ice or they chill it or whatever. And so when I get there at like 1 o'clock in the morning and buying like the spicy salmon tartar thing or whatever it is, it's definitely a few hours old and got a lot of life to it.
Not been properly refrigerated.
My skin is crawling right now, Jake. Oh, I'm just dying. Well, speaking of food you don't like, I think mine are a little bit more normal than that.
Maybe.
The foods I don't like. I do not like hard-coated candies like M&M's, Skittles. They're just gross me out.
Why?
And then I also don't like two of the most popular caffeinated beverages that people in the Mormon church drink, Coke and Diet Coke. I think they're disgusting.
Coke is like the classic beverage in the history of the world.
I think
it's
Coke
delicious.
And Diet Coke are disgusting.
Jesse, what do you drink? What is your soda
do you
of choice?
Hate America?
Like, I drink water.
Jesse, what soda? Do you drink Sprite?
No, I'll drink Dr. Pepper occasionally, but I don't believe in drinking my calories.
Wow. I mean,
so I drink,
why do you hate hard-coated candy? You have to tell a story.
Because
a story.
One time my older brother, not McKay, but older than that,
his name is Taylor.
Taylor, he put Skittles in his belly button, and then he would take them out, and you know, like when a candy gets warm, like if a little kid puts like a hard-coated candy in his hand, and then he opens his hand, it's like all colorful and gross. He put them in his belly button, and he pulled them out, and his belly button was all gross, and the candy was gross, and I literally cannot eat hard-coated candies anymore because of that.
Didn't he try and feed it to you after
so
it was in his
out.
Belly
yeah,
button?
Yeah, he was probably trying to like chase us down, and I just can't do them. I just can't do hard-coated candies anymore.
I think Jesse may physically vomit right here. Just
M&M's, Skittles. I like, if Steve eats them, I will not get too close to him. Like, they gross me out really bad.
It's a shame. Those are delicious things.
Like jelly beans. Like, I don't know what, honestly.
You don't do jelly beans?
One of my biggest fears in life is one day Cohen is going to want to eat hard-coated candies. And I am going to, like, hyperventilate and, like, curl up in the corner and, like, die.
So that's something that I was wondering about, like having unpopular opinions and having like really hot takes on something.
Yeah.
What happens when your kid loves the thing that you hate?
I don't know. I'm never going to give him hard-coated candies. He'll have to learn about Skittles from Steve.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting realization. I think we touched on this in our like 1 year, surviving a year of parenting podcast. But this realization that your child is an independent person who may have like different likes and dislikes and opinions than you. It's a really interesting thing to come to terms with because you just think that you're going to control them their entire lives. In reality, you can control them for about 9 months and then they start wanting to do things and not wanting to do what you want them to do. And it's just, it's a trip, man.
One day Cohen's
going to
eat Skittles and I'm just going to die.
My other unpopular opinion that I'll share is that I have a deep and abiding belief in the role of reality television.
Trashy reality TV.
Trashy. Well, no, it's not trashy. Reality television as a valuable part of America's cultural fabric. I think it's essential viewing. And if you are the type of person that says that you can't abide reality TV, then you're not truly in touch with who we are as a country and as a people. So, you know, Vanderpump Rules, I think, is the best television show on the air. I love it. It brings me so much joy to watch these
train wrecks.
All these people that coexist in Jake City, which he probably has never crossed paths with, but these waiters and wannabe celebrities who are just total train wrecks, but they just bring me so much joy. And like the Kardashians, our fellow Nobu denizens, I think the Kardashians are America's royal family. And gosh. I think that they're incredibly meaning. They're America's royal family. Who would be more, I guess maybe you could make the argument for Ivanka and Jared right now.
Okay, I just feel like
the Kardashians are important.
I feel like reality TV might be the reason why Donald Trump was elected to be president. So what I
That's
felt...
1,000% the reason he was elected to be president.
I can't say that reality TV is my favorite thing anymore because of that.
But it's obviously proven my point that it's important.
Oh, yes. Very important in a bad way. Jake, you got another unpopular opinion for us? And then I'll end us on a real good one.
Doozy of all unpopular opinions.
I'm just looking at Jesse's and being like, man, there's nothing that's going to top this. I mean, so I think that the two unpopular opinions of mine, I think it's a little bit easier to have things that you hate, you know?
It's true.
Like it's harder to have an unpopular opinion of something that you love, because I feel like that's just the way of, you know, the way of culture, where it's easier to hate something than it is to like something.
Yeah.
But one of the things that's probably a little bit harder to dislike is something that I dislike probably more than most things, and that's Disneyland.
What?
It's the Disney's place on Earth.
Jake has no heart.
Disneyland is a bad place, you guys.
Why?
Have you? Okay. First of all,
have I been there?
We just had a discussion.
Churros.
Very podcast. We had a discussion about cost per use and efficiency and saving money. It's a gosh dang like $180 to go to one day of Disneyland.
It is.
If you want to go to both the Disneyland and the California Adventure, and it's like, why in the heck would you split up into two gosh dang different things? Come on. Just give us one
it's
park.
True. It is just
completely full of kids. And I was one of them. I remember going to Disneyland and feeling like a little entitled brat. And I remember crying because I didn't get a piece of chocolate cake when we were sitting in some castle. And I felt like, why would I ever feel that way? It's because, like, oh, you're in Disneyland. You're supposed to get what you want. You're supposed to be happy, kind of.
It's the happiest place on Earth.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember going to Disney World, which is slightly less bad, but I remember going around and learning about Walt Disney and his, you know, ideals for wanting a perfect community and building a perfect space, and this was Epcot or whatever it was, and I was like, this just seems kind of kooky and super communist, and I don't know, there was just some weird vibes that I got there, so... But I've gone to Disneyland with some friends, and I have had a good time every once in a while. Like, we went... One night, I have a friend who works for ESPN, and he's able to get, because ESPN is owned by Disney, he's able to get into Disney for free, and they can get four other people in for free as well. And so we went one time at like 7 o'clock at night and rode a couple of rides and left. I was like, that's probably about as much as I can handle.
But so everything you're a fan of free Disney. If it was free.
A fan of free Disney and a fan of like non, like indoctrinating your kids into the gospel of Disney kind of a thing. Like, I've
totally
seen certain
agree.
Kids on Snapchat and Instagram stories where, you know, they are like baptized in the faith of like, oh my gosh, like you're going to obsess over Mickey. Whenever you see him, you're going to freak out and you're going to like go crazy and you're going to feel this way. And, you know, you're going to watch all these Disney movies and you're going to obsess over these things. And because of that, you're going to want to spend hundreds of dollars on all these terrible toys that Disney has to offer. And I don't know. I'm just like really curmudgeonly when it comes to stuff like that. So
yeah,
I
can tell. And I think
I
it's
can practically
kind of,
see you on your front porch shaking your hands at the children, shaking your fist at the children as they go by on your lawn.
I'm just like imagining myself like as a parent taking my kids to Disneyland and, you know, the three or four, however many kids, and them like wanting to buy stuff. And they're like, Dad, I want this shirt. And I'll be like, kids, that shirt is $70. We can go outside to Target that also has a Mickey Mouse on it for $10. We're going to go get that one there. We're not spending that much money here. And my kids are going to hate me. I've already, like, I know that's going to happen. Like, I'm okay with that at this point. So I think I just have to stand strong.
You can't tell me when you've been there standing on Main Street at night right before the fireworks show begins and Tinkerbell flies across the sky and the music starts. You cannot tell me you hate that moment.
I do enjoy that one little moment until someone runs up into my face and like, hey, buy this glowing light stick. It's $50.
Or the balloons or
And this is someone, I work in advertising. Like, I work, I make right, you're my like, life.
You slave away in the temple of consumerism.
Yeah, my life is based on getting people to buy things that they don't need.
Don't need. That's so, very
like,
true.
The fact that I don't like the place of Disney, which is basically people buying and, you know, obtaining things so they can achieve happiness. It kind of goes against, like, my entire career, but you know what? I don't care.
Stay true to yourself.
Not
going to
lie. Jesse, what's the one thing you listen to with Cohen?
We listen to a lot of things.
What's the one thing you listen to with Cohen consistently?
Lion King soundtrack.
It's already starting.
No.
Oh, man.
Not like, oh, we're going to buy the Lion King shirts. More like, I don't want him to listen to, like, country music and pop music all the time. And I feel like he kind of likes Lion King.
The thing is, Jesse, I think that's fine because those are like the classics. It's when you get sucked into the Moanas and the Frozens, and it's like,
then the you other have to thing go, you listen
hey,
to.
Jake, this and is then actually you gotta, why, then you gotta go to, why I'm really you, glad I didn't have a girl, because I don't know if I could do the princesses thing.
Yeah, well, then you got to go to Disney on Ice, and then you got to buy all the, like, the DVDs and the shows and stuff like that, and then you got to have the gosh dang, like, princess-themed birthday parties for so many years, and everyone's got to dress up.
Jake's
like one
gonna
of those
have
Disney
like four
princesses.
Girls.
You're gonna
Jake,
have so
you're
much
have
Disney
all
princess
the girls,
in your house.
And there's gonna be all for Disney. It's like, it's just like coming for you. It's foreshadowing. It's
all
coming.
Right, Jesse. What's the last one? The all mother right. of all hot takes.
Remember how I don't have a heart.
Donald Trump would drop this hot take on some poor, not poor, on some ISIS hideout in Afghanistan to obliterate it.
I don't like Christmas. I kind of hate Christmas.
What's wrong with you?
I don't
Do you also hate puppies and newborn babies?
No, I love puppies and I love babies. I don't hate, like, what Christmas is, like, the, like, actual why we celebrate Christmas. I hate everything that's about, like, the whole month of December, all the crap, and I like buying crap. All the consumerism, all the chaos, all the parties, all the sweets, all the Christmas. I just hate it all. I hate the presents. I hate it all. It's really lame.
There's no part of that you find...
The Christmas tree, I mean, you know, I don't like putting up a Christmas tree. I don't like any of it.
That's so sad.
I know.
Jesse, what is your favorite holiday then?
4th of July.
Why?
Fireworks, barbecue, food, like summer barbecue food. You go to the pool and there's no pressure, no gifts, no... low-key. Second favorite holiday, Thanksgiving. Third favorite holiday, Easter. Just like low-key, no pressure.
Shouldn't Thanksgiving be bad for you because it signals the start of the thing you hate?
No, I just want to shut down. Like, I love Thanksgiving, and then I just, like, shut down. Except for I do shop the Black Friday, like, cyber sales.
You
because
love
they're
Black
just
Friday.
So good. You can't not. And then I'm done.
And then you have more stuff that you have to figure out where to put in your house.
I know.
Well, if there's anything we learned from this segment, I think, especially from Jesse and Jake, I think it's that...
we're very negative people.
Consumerism is bad and it will kill you right after the outdoors kills you, which I think would probably make Walt Disney the communist the happiest of all. So I think we've wound up in a good place. Thank you very much to our wonderful friend, Jake Welch, and his life-changing magic of the clothing spreadsheet for joining us today. Jake, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. This has been a delight just to be able to converse with you guys and be able to share my love of Stomp the Yard as well. I'm glad I was able to get that off my chest. I don't think anyone knows that except for me.
I can't believe you said that out loud.
Well, we'll have Jake back again to talk about things that don't involve obsessive compulsive disorder. But for now, thanks to everybody for joining us. Thanks for everyone who continues to listen to this, even as these episodes tend to get longer and longer and we decide to discuss less and less interesting things. But maybe we'll jump back into the 90s pop music next week for old time's sake. Who knows? But anyway, until then, thanks for listening, and thank you for joining us for dinner at our place.